your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and here we are again.
On a fabulous Tuesday night, one of the last two that we're doing for the year.
For the year 2019. I know. That's crazy.
It is. Because we have two after that.
Yep.
And they both fall on holidays.
So we'll have reruns, good reruns, because we've had a lot of super shows this year.
We'll pick out the worst reruns we could find.
Well, yeah, maybe that's what we should do. Exactly.
No, we won't do that.
We'll play the good ones.
Yeah, we'll dig out some good ones. But yeah, we're going to take some time off and enjoy and relax and gear up for next year.
Yes.
We've already started planning some shows for next year. Super exciting.
Maybe during that time we can get them tied down and...
One is tied down. I tied one.
Good.
Got to tie the rest.
Yes.
But yeah, so I'm excited for next year. And next week, we have a good guest too.
Yeah.
So we'll finish the year with another fantastic guest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know what I think is interesting? So we have lost our holiday season. It feels like it's shortened by a week.
Yeah.
For those that celebrate. Yes. Not everybody celebrates. I get it. Mm-hmm. But... if you do, you might feel like the season is compacted. I feel like it is.
All of a sudden it's almost Christmas, right?
Yeah. And that's because Thanksgiving, I was going to say Halloween, so late. Every holiday is so late, Halloween for me.
Thanksgiving was so late this year.
It was. But that's all right. And you went squatching. Last weekend.
Yes, I was Cindy and I went out on Saturday and we braved the marsh and went over to the other side and crazy things over there.
We went to the other side.
We went to the other side to our new favorite research area. Dun,
dun. Yeah, connected to our original
old favorite research area.
Research area.
Yeah.
Across the swamp.
Across the swamp, across the marshland. It was hard walking this time.
At least it wasn't 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's true. That's true. It was broad daylight and, a lot of snow, so it was awesome. I can't wait till the water freezes so we can walk out on the ice.
Right.
That's the best.
My Christmas wish is to never walk across the swamp at 1 o'clock in the morning when it's not frozen ever again.
That was bad.
It was awful.
You know, we
had 25 degree weather. What was it? 25 degrees by the time
and
we got
hauling
done?
So much stuff. Yeah. Oh, gosh,
I thought we were going to move into the swamp.
I know.
We had so much stuff.
I know. And people are saying, oh, that picture of us that we took in the back of Miss Pearl.
Yeah.
And we were all just giggly because we were so happy we made it out. That's what I say. Oh, my gosh. We were so excited that we actually made it out in one piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The muscles in my legs were pretzels
by
the time we got done.
We were so tired.
But it was worth it. It was awesome. Yeah. And the fact that we did it. Feels pretty good.
Absolutely.
We kind of feel amazing.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Well, squashers are amazing.
True.
I mean, look what Lauren Coleman said about it. Can I just say?
We will never let that die.
We will never let that die. I mean, it's amazing. And for the, we won't. I guess we should say what Lauren Coleman said to us.
Well, because we didn't say it on our show.
We did not say it on our show. So last week we were on the calling And Jerry from The Calling asked a few people what they thought of Squatchers, and one of them was Lauren Coleman. And he had this awesome quote for us that I still have to get on the website. I have not, you know, whatever. It's just, there's too much to do all the time, right? So Lauren Coleman said, quote, "The future of Bigfoot searching and research lies with active female field workers. Minnesota leads the way, and there are few such as Squatchers. I congratulate my friends for their great contributions to the field."
Yay!
Lauren Coleman. And we, you know, he is like the world leading cryptozoologist. He's the one that gave me the idea to start the team. So, yep. Awesome!
Go Squatchers!
Let's pat ourselves on the back again. But yeah, so yeah, after that, cool quote.
That was cool.
Yeah. High five. We had to get out in the field right away. Yeah.
You're out there listening.
Yeah.
So, that was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we're doing. Hopefully coming up again.
Yep.
Getting out there.
Yep. Because we have some time off now during the holidays. So we'll be out there a few more times. And we have some new areas to search out by Cindy's house up north. So yeah, it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of fun.
Fun tonight, because we have a very special someone in the house.
Very special.
So 4 years ago when we started this show, almost 5 years ago now,
There were three of us.
And one, Kristen Barton, used to be with us, and she is here tonight. Yay, Kristen!
Yay! Thanks for having me. And we're all in the same room.
I know.
We're in the same room.
I know. And the energy is crazy, and I won't be able to sleep all night tonight.
I'll try to rein it
in. Yeah, okay. Let's all when we leave anyway, right? Oh, yeah. So this is so fun. This is so fun because we've been trying to all three of us get together. We've had shows together, but not in the same room.
Right.
Last time we were supposed to be together, my daughter Casey was violently ill.
Yeah.
So you couldn't even do the show. I couldn't even do the show, but remotely. You guys, you know, just handled it beautifully, I might add. So
Thank
it was
you.
All good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so cool to have you back.
Yes.
And I had a blast talking with you last time.
I had so much fun.
Yeah, but it's really cool to be in person. Mm-hmm. I think
absolutely
much more.
Yeah. Oh yes,
much more sure. entertaining.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Absolutely, because you never know what's going to happen.
True that. So, for those of you listening, if you hop in the chat room, you can ask Kristen questions. She is a Wiccan high priestess, and we'll be talking about all sorts of fun things tonight. But any questions that you have for her, feel free to hop into the chat room and ask us. We will answer or have her answer that on the air as long as we have time. So that's the prerequisite that we have time.
So we're going to talk about, oh gosh, this time of year. So it's the winter solstice coming up. And I know on our ad this week, I said it was this Saturday, but I just want to say right now, it's really a week from Saturday. I had the dates mixed up. I was so excited that we were all going to be together.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Boom. This holiday season feels
I know,
small.
Compact.
So
we don't know what the day is.
Yeah.
But there is a full moon this weekend, too. So there's kind of a lot going on.
Maybe
actually.
You are a, what do you call him? Wolfman. Werewolf.
A shapeshifter.
No, you're affected a wolfman. Like, this is the wolf.
Okay.
This is the full moon affecting me.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a werewolf and you're affected by the full moon, which has thrown off your calendar reading abilities.
That could be. Well, you know, I am a moon child. Kind of does throw me off, throw me for a loop every month. So
you were born on a full moon?
Was I? We talked about that.
Well, I'm asking. You said you're a moon
child. My birthday, the moon is my planet, right? Because I'm Cancer.
So you're Cancer, yeah.
Got it.
And this
okay.
year, remember, my birthday was on a full moon, and it was a big deal with the astrologers. They were like, oh my gosh, you got to have a reading, and then I never did. But yeah.
Such a big deal.
You still have that.
I know. But they said you should come on your birthday to have, you know, the new reading, and it's your full moon, and oh my goodness. And was I born on a full moon? We did kind of think about this, and I don't remember what it was all about now.
Well, you could,
because I forget.
We could certainly check.
I'll start Googling that. Why don't you talk about our fun stuff that we're going to talk about? Tell everybody what we're going to talk about.
Well, yeah. So it's full moon this week, but the winter solstice is a week from Saturday. And so we thought, Kristen could tell us all about the solstice and what happens during that, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people think that it's, you know, and we know as paranormal investigators that, for example, spirits are around everywhere, and they're much more so, you know, from October through the end of the year. And people, I think people think after October, they go away.
Oh, no.
They're here all year. I mean, they're here all year. But they seem to have an easier time interacting with us the last quarter of the year, for sure.
For my tradition, we acknowledge that the veil begins to thicken actually at Imbolc, which is February 2nd-ish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it thins again, of course, around between Beltane, which is like May Day, up to the summer solstice. So there's a lot of activity at summer solstice as well.
Yes. So there's a lot of activity.
Yeah, definitely. And this is kind of my favorite time of year because as long as we're talking about, you know, astrology, well, I'm a double Pisces. I have a Pisces sun and a Pisces moon. And the fact that I ever get anything done at all is absolutely astounding. But, you know, I manage somehow. But yeah. So Pisces is the sign of death.
Oh.
And is associated with death and with reincarnation. And so I am in my element when it is between Samhain around, you know, October 31st-ish through November 8th-ish through Imbolc, which is, you know, February 2nd-ish. So I'm really feeling in my element and feeling really comfortable, and I love the dark and, you know, and I talk to dead people all the time anyway. So like, it's just like the connection is less crackly now.
Yes. Less crackly.
It's a clear connection.
Totally.
Yeah.
It is true. You know, cause I've seen that too. You know, I see things all the time and I know you do too.
Yeah.
Well, we all do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I get a kick out of it when I'm like out somewhere and I'll just see like a vortex just kind of swirling, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. There's a vortex in the middle of my street.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
What's going on here?
And there it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, Jerry posted it. I wasn't going to post her birth date in its entirety in the chat room. So.
Oh, jeez.
Because
everybody knows
privacy reasons,
but
Jerry. But it was a waxing crescent. I did look as well.
That's what it was, because I remember we talked about that on my birthday. Yeah.
I was born in a new moon. Darkness.
Potential.
You're a darkness.
I love it.
But a waxing moon is... It's getting thinner too, though, right?
No, it's getting thicker.
Oh, it's getting thicker. That's right. And then the
waning
is getting thinner.
Getting thinner.
Yeah. Okay.
Or getting darker.
That's right. So I'm the light, guys. I'm the light.
Well, somebody got to be, because Heidi and me, we are not.
Zero in the new moon. New moon has got nothing. I am lurking in the dark.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
And loving every minute of it.
Well, and this time of year, there's just so much going on, right? There's so much going on. And so we thought we'd talk about, you know, the winter solstice and Yuletide and all that good stuff, Kristen.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of lore, and different traditions incorporate different pieces of that lore. And then there, you know, is the whole lore war that happens, where people will be like, you know, Santa Claus is based on Odin. No, he's not. Blah, blah, blah. And people like get really uptight about it. But in my tradition, we make a big deal out of the longest night. I mean, and we do the same thing for the summer solstice, the longest day. But for Wiccans, every single part of the calendar is equally beautiful, and we celebrate it because we just like celebrating everything.
Yeah.
We're all about the party. And but this is the longest night, and so the overarching myth cycle, which is not meant to be taken literally in the terms of God and goddess necessarily. I know some people do take the overarching myth cycle literally, and that's, I'm not going to call them wrong, but it's the story of God and goddess as they traverse through the seasons. And it's the story of, you know, birth, growth, maturity, decline, the death cycle, and rebirth, right? So this particular night, the solstice night, is the night that the Great Mother travails in the birth of the newborn son, S-U-N and S-O-N together. And so it is a time to reflect on the holiness of darkness, the holiness of the darkness of the womb, which is the first darkness that we experience as human beings, and the holiness of the birth process, the holiness sometimes of the pain that we have to endure to bring something forward from the other side into this side. And so we try to be very cognizant of the importance of darkness. And because darkness is oftentimes vilified culturally and by certain different religions, we work really hard as pagans to kind of represent that, you know, darkness, it is not symbolic of evil necessarily. I mean, certainly all evil is dark. We can argue as to whether or not evil is a, you know, human construct or not, and that depends on your belief system. But I see darkness as being a truly beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And so we really reflect on that. And then we do things like make vows about what we're going to bring forth in the new solar cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we want to start fresh doing? Where do we want our lives to go? And celebrating, too, the holiness of the new life, the new infant life, the new infant son. The son is born on solstice morning, but it doesn't necessarily take full power until Imbolc, which is, you know, February 2nd-ish, where you have the first noticeable lengthening of days. And so it is this whole process where the sun is born, but then the sun is gathering power, gathering speed, and maturing and becoming itself again. And so we talk about becoming ourselves again, or becoming a new self, because we rebirth ourselves over and over and over. Mm-hmm. So Christmas and Yule, you will see this on the internet if you go into certain chat rooms where people will be like, Christmas is pagan. No, it's not. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and the people, again, get really upset because it's very emotionally charged. And for me, I don't see a reason to argue over lore, because lore is lore. Lore is not fact. Mm-hmm. I might think my lore is fact, but somebody else's conflicting lore is their fact. And while I think that facts are facts and I don't believe in alternative facts, nobody can prove that their lore is, quote, true or not true. And what I love about the Wiccan path is that we celebrate these seasons, which, you know, exist. Our eight solar holidays are actual astronomical events. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're like, yep, look, it's up there. Observe the sun, you know. And so whether or not the lore makes any difference is really something that I just kind of let other people argue about while I kind of enjoy my wassail. However, there is lore that connects various different solar gods to the solstice time, and there are a whole, I mean, Jesus included, who is definitely a solar god, from where I sit. But we have Mithras, who I believe was born on December 25th as well. And I mean, I'm sure we can dig into other, you know, sun gods and so forth. So it's all good. It's all about that overarching concept of that renewal. And back in the day, I mean, even today, I'm wearing my certified 30 below boots because we're in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it is cold out
there. Below
zero tonight. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You know, and back in the day when we did not have central heating, and I couldn't go to, like, you know, Polar Tech and buy me some cool gear, you know. Winter was a big threat.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so to come together and celebrate that the sun is being reborn, we can look forward to life happening again. Yes, the sun is going to come back. No, we're not going to all, you know, die in this Arctic freeze that is going to be eternal. It's a big deal when you think about it. And so that is, I think, why one of the biggest reasons that our ancient ancestors oftentimes would celebrate the solstices. And one of my very favorite myth cycles is actually about the fae or fairy. Many of the fae stories are actually god and goddess stories that were kind of relegated to folk tales when power changed hands. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of times the god goddess stories will tell the cycle of the sun. So for instance, Welsh, slap me, which is, you know, greater Celtic, but they're specifically Welsh. Lewin Bledioeth, the story of this king and queen is actually the story of the sun as he traverses all the astrological houses. And she is the moon maiden Virgo, who is his bride. And then she leaves him for her dark lover, Pryderi. I'm not Pryderi. Goodness sakes. I hope none of my students are listening right now. This is really embarrassing for me. Like, I did not have caffeine today. It's, I apologize.
Full moon. Yeah. Full moon's coming.
Oh, my gosh.
Plus, we're all together, you know, kind of relax us out a little bit.
Yes. one of his names is Morgan, but he's got different names. But the dark lover, who is the opposite of the sun god, Lu, takes the hand of the spring maiden during the dark part of the year. And so a lot of times when you get these like god goddess stories, they are in fact stories of natural events. Mm-hmm. And we try to remember that. And the something that is similar is the fae story of the holly and the oak king fighting at the solstices. So, and I will just say, the holly king looks deceptively like Santa Claus.
Oh.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Oh.
Yes, and he is the king of, guess who? The elves.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, that doesn't ring a bell.
That does kind of sound like at all. Red elf with that.
Yeah. So on the solstices, the summer and winter fae fight. And so the oak king is the young, virile, hot god. and the holly king is his older self. And so they battle. On the winter solstice, the oak king will best the holly king. Mm. And it goes the other way around on the summer.
It's kind of like the Vulcans and King Boreas.
Well, but that's Imbolc. That's Imbolc.
Yeah, it is. Yes. But yeah, the same.
No,
thing,
they're
right?
The same sort of dudes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. No, they would be. They are the fire fae.
Yes.
Yes. So So there's all of these lovely stories, and sometimes people in my tradition will actually hold a play that dramatizes the Holly and the Oak Kings fighting, and it's all very, you know, they'll stage a, you know, a hot dude mock fight, and we don't hate that. So it's a lot of fun. And of course, then we wassail a tree. I have a beautiful crabapple tree in my front yard, and she blooms every Beltane. I kid you not.
Nice.
I love it.
And so she's our tree, and we wassail her. So what that means is that we make this, there are so many different ways to make wassail, but it usually has ale and some form of citrus juice, and then the other ingredients will vary quite a bit, but a lot of be cinnamon. You're supposed to, like, float orange slices on top of it.
Sure.
Da-da-da-da. And so we drink wassail, and then it's drunk warm, and then you bring it outside, and you sing a song to the tree, and you pour the wassail on the roots of the tree and beg the tree to bear fruit again, the coming year, because it was, and this is where we get O Tannenbaum.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was not an evergreen, yo. It was actually an apple tree.
Okay.
Now I don't have an apple tree. I have a crab apple tree. I'm a practical witch, you know.
Works the same. Yeah.
But so, that's really fun too. And for a little while, you can ask my coveners about this.
Mm-hmm.
I got into getting like authentic medieval wassail recipes.
Ooh.
And I'm just going to say these poor, poor people.
Oh,
because it was, by today's standards, it was, oh my God, it was horrible. And a lot of times there would be egg in it and stuff. Oh. I mean, there was some stuff in there, man.
Oh.
And so I would be like, but it's authentic. And they're like, oh God, did she make the wassail again? Did she?
Have to make it? Oh, we have to drink this?
I'm going
to
tell her God. I have an egg allergy.
Can't do that.
But so I finally stopped doing the authentic medieval wassail recipes, and they all actually spontaneously cheered.
I'm going to say I would have probably cheered too.
Me too.
But we still do wassail night, my crab apple tree. So that's
also. Well, that sounds nice, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
That sounds like a nice tradition.
I love it.
And people might remember this from maybe some, you know, like A Christmas Carol, the Dickens story. It has been traditional, or it was back in like the 1800s, early 1900s, to tell ghost stories at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is very natural for us pagan folk. And I would like to see people bring back the Christmas ghost story, which we now only have in token in A Christmas Carol, which is, you know, a great story. I happen to have a friend who is preparing to pass at a very young age. She's not yet 40. Ryan, if you're listening, I love you. And I'm part of her team that's going to help her her pass over. And being a pagan-y person, she's very pragmatic about it. And we're giving her all these chores to do when she gets over to the other side. Like, can you find my grandpa and tell him, you know, stuff like that. I happen to be wearing one of her beautiful wedding rings on my hand right now. It has a beautiful pentacle on it. And we are in the process of preparing her way. And she is in kind of her last stages, I think, pretty quick here. You know, you can't schedule that stuff. But her passing, if she passes around this time of year, would be very auspicious. I guess it would be very poetic for us. And she has made me promise that we are going to do a seance for her periodically at the solstice, too, just for fun, you know, because everybody does it on Halloween, right?
Yeah.
But we're going to do hers on the solstice. And, so I think, you know, ghost stories are a big part of the energy of this season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think it is fitting. I mean, if one isn't afraid to talk about those who have passed, and you know, because I think sometimes people don't, they're either too sad or they're afraid that it's not appropriate time or whatever. I think it's really nice time to talk about our loved ones who have passed on and welcome them back in if they want to join us, or, you know, just to it reminds me of, you know, when you're talking about, like, my dad has been gone for a while now, to talk about him feels like I'm sending him a holiday card.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it's like I'm reconnecting with him and saying, hey, how you doing? Like, I know this card's in the mail somewhere. It'll get to you at some point, maybe.
Yep.
You know, that energy. And, you know, I know that every once in a while when he pops into my head, I'm like, oh, is he replying to my mail?
Oh, yeah.
You know, did he send me a postcard?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, he's in my head. So I think, you know, this time of year, it's kind of fun to send out those little postcards and, you know that at some point they're going to reach their person.
I do think they're around more during the holidays. I mean, like, just the other week, my brother was out of town and we were taking care of his place, and we were shoveling out there. And, you know, when my mom and dad were still alive, if we were out there shoveling, mom would always stand in the kitchen window and watch us, right? And Casey's like, oh, she's not there now. And I said, oh, did you see mom? And she said, yep. She was there looking at us, you know.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That's cool. And, you know, she visited on Chris's birthday last year. And, you know, my dad's always with me. I see him a lot, but not so much my mom. But she's still hanging out at the house down there because my brother bought the house. So he lives in the same house we grew up in.
That's nice.
And so, yeah, she appears every once in a while to us. So it's awesome. So we know
that's,
they're there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, and the thing is, too, when you think about it, I mean, we make such a an effort to carry on family traditions, particularly in the winter holidays. And so it's so natural. I mean, using grandma's cake pan and her recipe and, you know, hanging up the stockings that you had when you were a kid. And, you know, we invoke and evoke our ancestors all the time during this time of year. And so my attitude is I'm just going to formalize it. You know, I mean, I actually do. Well, I have an ancestor altar that's a portal all the time. Mm-hmm. It's fun to talk about those ancestors, you know, maybe when you're like trimming the tree and you bring out the old, you know, I remember this ornament, you know, I got it from grandma when I got married, and isn't that cool? So I think it's really natural. And I think sometimes we, in this culture, are made to fear or feel like it's somehow not okay to talk about people who have passed, but to me, they're still there. Like, I have conversations with my dead people.
Yeah.
I do.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, I know we can continue this. We're going to take a break.
We're at the half hour, so half hour. A little bit over. So we will be back in 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight. On the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
You tired of that old broomstick giving out on you at the worst possible times? Then you're going to want to come down to Marla Brooks's Broomstick Emporium, where we buy, sell, and trade all models of broomstick. And while you're here, you're going to want to check out a full line of cauldrons. And remember, gift certificates are sold here for that hard to buy for a witch. So come on down to Marla Brooks's Broomstick Emporium. You'll be glad you did. Just off Route 9, past Devil's Play.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. And we are joined tonight with, or Kristen Barton joins us tonight. And we're talking about all sorts of fun stuff around the solstice and Yule and holidays and winter. And we're just talking about family traditions.
Yes.
I know one of the traditions that I do is make lefse every year.
Yes.
So my mom's mom was Norwegian. She passed away a handful of years ago, and she taught each one of her grandkids how to make lefse. And we made that every time we go to her house, we were making lefse in the holidays. And then as we got old enough, I don't know if we were like 18, 19, 20, somewhere in there, she would buy each one of us all the stuff to make lefse. So we got the iron and we got the sticks and we got the cloths and everything, the rolling pins. So that was fun. And I still have, of course, all my stuff. And so every year I grab grandma's recipe and all my stuff and I make lefse. And of course I'm thinking about her and I'm thinking about my mom and I'm thinking about my siblings and I'm thinking about the whole family and I'm thinking about ancestors that I never knew because I can feel their energy coming through this tradition because I know that her mother taught her and everybody, you know, went on like that. So I can feel all these generations of ancestors just coming through and it feels there's a lot of power in that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of really good energy. And then, you know, while you're doing it too, sometimes I could feel, because not every year was good, you know, and I can feel sometimes the sadness come through and maybe some of that is even sadness of, you know, some of their energies, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But anyway, so it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. to be able to lean on those traditions, I think, and
absolutely
bring them into the family, and you know,
yeah.
Think it's
no,
comforting.
It is, and that's like when I make sugar cookies. It's my grandma's sugar cookie recipe, and I used her rolling pin that she had.
Yep.
So same thing, right? Now our family with Lepsa, we weren't so. We just used a fry pan or a griddle, you know. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I don't know that there's really a recipe. We just throw some flour in with mashed potatoes and some other stuff, and put it on the grill, and put butter and sugar, and it's fabulously delicious. But you know, our family calls Lefsi Lefsi, or not Lefsa. I don't know if it's because of what part of Norway my grandma was from, but
could be.
I know people just look at us, what's Lefsa? Okay, well, my grandma from Norway said it was Lefsi, so
that's
whatever
what it
you want to do. Yeah.
You can't argue with grandma.
No, but brown sugar on it. I don't know. I've never had brown sugar on Lefsi. We always just use regular sugar with lots of butter.
I'm going to tape that microphone to your head, Steph.
Yeah, I know it. sorry.
Jerry wants you to say Lefsi again.
Lefsi?
Yeah, Lefsa. I do butter and not brown sugar. I do butter and regular sugar. Although, let me tell you, the girl likes to have a little bit of a mix when it comes to Lefsa. I'll make it thicker.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take mashed potatoes, homemade, not box. Ooh.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes. And then some kind of like a sausage, you know, it could be anything.
Like
it could be a brat or something.
Yeah.
So you take the Lefsa and it's a little thicker because otherwise it kind of tears up and whatever. And you put the mashed potatoes in the bottom, and then the sausage, and then I put sauerkraut and mustard and whatever, and just roll it up.
Amazing.
It's delicious. Onions, grilled onions. It's delicious.
Oh, yum.
And gluten-free.
Yes.
Because no flour, no wheat flour.
Oh, sure.
You don't have to use wheat. You've got the potatoes and you don't have to use the wheat flour for it.
Yeah.
So it's delicious.
Yeah.
But you have to make it a little thicker because otherwise it just will shred the Lefsa well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
But, okay, so now we've gotten off topic.
No, but now we know all about Lefsa and Lefsi, and that is very important.
That's fine.
It is. It's all that tradition stuff, which I think is cool this time of year, you know? And if you don't have a tradition, not everybody does.
Right.
You know, not everybody comes from traditions or wants to continue their traditions because they're not great traditions, or they are just no tradition. I don't know, whatever.
You can make up your own.
That's right.
You do your own.
You start doing your own thing, and then you make those traditions, and if you want to pass those on to someone, you can.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to. They can start with you, end with you. Yes. However you want to do it.
Absolutely. Yes. I think I'm going to haul out my granddaughter's chair. We have, I think I've mentioned this before, we have a rocking chair. My granddaughter Charlotte is the sixth or the seventh generation of daughter who's been rocked in that chair.
Oh,
that's so cool.
And so we sit her in the rocking chair, and then she has to memorize the names of the ladies of the chair, and then she will get the chair. I have not been able to talk my daughter, who is her mother, into taking the chair. So the chair is now in my temple room, soaking up all the goodness of my temple room, which is a fine place for it.
Nice.
So, yeah. But I told Charlotte, I'm like, you will be taking this. This is yours.
No
this
doubt.
Is your weight to bear in the world.
You will carry this.
That's cool. That's cool, though.
Yeah. It is. That's neat. Yeah. It's fun when there's different things like that. If you have them, like I said, if you have them, if you don't, make your own.
Oh, definitely. You are somebody's distant ancestor.
That's right.
Unless you're not. But a lot of times if you have kids, you are. And an auntie or an uncle can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I personally have, I adopt strays. I actually have somebody in Tennessee who was rejected by their parents due to gender identity. And I was just like, you know what? I'm your mom now. Eat your vegetables.
Yeah.
And so you can adopt people. You can be somebody's auntie. You can be somebody's uncle. You can be somebody's dad. I don't care if you made that kid or not.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
So, go forth and find people to make fun traditions with.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. I'm curious if anybody in the chat room, well, if they haven't all left yet, because they said that they were getting hungry now, because we're talking about Lefsa. but if they have any traditions that they wanted to share from this time of year, go ahead and type those into the chat room.
Yeah.
We can share those on the air as well. I'm guessing there's a few folks that do the lefse out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're here in Minnesota anyway, or you're in some Scandinavian country, you might do that as well.
Yeah. A lot of folks do Swedish meatballs.
Swedish meatballs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which are delicious.
Totally delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I should start that tradition in my family. We don't do that, but I think I'm going to start that one.
Yeah. Yeah,
that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. I don't, but that's a good idea.
I'm going to start that tradition, I think. Good idea.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I am nothing but helpful.
Food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that you can count on for the holidays is food.
I mean, absolutely.
Again, not everybody, but it seems like it's always around at gatherings.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, like we've been talking about, is it seems like it's handed down recipes. Or if it's not the recipe, it's the idea of it. You know, you have a certain dish or...
Oh, yeah. Got to do it. Like my mom's blueberry dessert. Got to do it. Right down to the name brand of the blueberries that we buy to get to put in there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They have to be wilderness blueberries.
Oh.
And you can only find them in very few stores now. And everybody knows if you used a different kind of blueberry.
Do they really?
You betcha. And the recipe, that she handed down to us was on a card about this big. It was a tab card, and it had like 4 ingredients. It had like 16 graham crackers. Okay, so was it like the whole graham cracker or
nobody knows?
16, well,
the quarter.
Exactly. So I've actually now it's a cup and a half. This is what it's a cup and a half.
There you go.
But yeah, no, because she didn't, you know, we never really wrote anything down, right? It was just like, you might have 3 or 4 things, and well, now we have to figure it out, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My mother's recipes, like, give me conniption fits.
Yes.
She's a very smart woman, but you would not know it from the way she kept her recipes, so.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the kitchen witch thing.
Yeah, totally.
You know, because they know, and that's all that matters.
Right.
Yeah.
And they figure, you know, the ones that follow will figure it out.
Yeah.
They'll use their kitchen witchness
on
it. And
absolutely.
And we have, you know.
It'll work out.
But yeah, between the blueberry dessert and the green jello salad, we'll figure it out,
Did you have green jello salad?
Oh, it's so good.
Wait, version of your...
Yeah, you can have my portion of that.
Oh, no, but it has green jello and sour cream and cottage cheese and whipping cream. I mean, it's like...
Oh, okay. So
that's a different green jello.
That is a different one. Yeah, Heidi and I are looking at each other like, whoa, no.
And pineapple in there, too. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
The green jello salad I'm familiar with is actually like salad in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and the olives and everything.
No, this is really good.
No, thanks. Is a good one. And I'm sorry to anybody out there that likes it. You can have both of our portions.
Yes.
Know, not everybody likes everything, but honestly, like, I converted for the gods and stayed for the feasts. Like, us pagans, we take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Okay, there is some food going on.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Joe is asking olives and jello.
Yeah, I've never.
No lie. Green olives.
No, that's true.
That's gross.
My maternal grandmother had a recipe that called for green jello and had prunes in it.
Oh, my.
And that came from World War II rations.
Oh.
And because my sister finally figured it out. I was like, did you see this monstrosity with the green jello and the ketchup and the prunes? Did you catch that?
Oh.
And she said, yeah, those are definitely World War II rations.
Yeah.
I said, that explains so much, man. Because. Yeah.
But then they still made them after that.
Well, they did because, you know, I mean, you grow up
used
eating
to
it and then it reminds you of love and
you get used to stuff and you have fond memories or...
Kind of like lutefisk, yeah?
I don't eat that.
I've never
you
had
know,
it.
But you gotta get down with the Viking idea of it, though, because, like, apparently there was... They invaded a village.
Yes.
You know, and then the villagers are like, well... F this, right? Like, like we're going to poison all the fish.
Absolutely.
So we're going to make these people sick.
Man.
So we're going to dump lye over it. And these guys are like, this is our new official dish. This is the best fish we've ever had. Freaking Vikings.
Oh, man.
They're made of metal. Yeah. That's all. All Vikings made of metal.
Absolutely.
Nothing else. So Sherry in the chat room said wineberry pie. I don't know. Is that her tradition? It sounds like it, and I want to know more about that.
Yeah,
that
Wendberry pie sounds yummy. Yeah,
I think so.
That is. Do tell.
Yeah, tell us that about that a little really bit. Good. Type that in there.
Mm.
And then we can make sure that every single listener leaves, because everybody's officially starving now.
Right.
our
and
whole
they all
show
want
switched.
Some wine and some berries.
I know, we were talking about spirits and all this really cool stuff, and now we're just, you know, talking about Lefsy.
I can tie this back around, because I have heard, and maybe you have not, but I think you probably have. Mm-hmm. There are spirits who have become capable occasionally of eating human food.
Really?
Yes. There is a story that I read written by a woman in Blaine, Minnesota, and I, of course, cannot for the life of me remember it, because I'm so great at, you know, these sorts of stories, but she wrote a book. I will try to find it. If I find it, I'll post it on the Facebook page. But mm-hmm. she moved into this house in Blaine, Minnesota, which is, you know, near me in Coon Rapids. And she had a little boy spirit in there. And she found he was, you know, taking her son's toys, and she found them all, like, hidden in the attic. And he was doing all these things. And she was famous for her spaghetti sauce. And she had made up this batch of spaghetti sauce and then left to go answer the phone or what have you, and came back in the kitchen. She's the only one in the house. The whole thing is gone. The bowl, everything is gone.
No pets.
No pets, nothing.
No rats.
No, nothing that she could determine. And so
that doesn't make sense.
Like a month later, she finds the empty bowl up with where the kid had hidden the stash of toys.
Huh.
And she swears it's true.
Huh.
I do know that I have occasionally left an offering on my altar, mm-hmm. either for a god or goddess or for ancestors or what have you, and I have left fey offerings and things, which is advisable to do if you are a person like me. Mm-hmm. And they have occasionally disappeared. Now, there's got to be, I mean, there might be, yeah, okay, maybe the wine evaporated, except it's in a fairly large chalice and it was only overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
happen.
Possible. but I have seen stuff like that occasionally.
Hmm.
And so, although it is not typical, and I don't think most spirits can actually do it, you know, somebody out there claims it can be done. So I think that's fascinating, too.
I'm open.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to possibility.
I mean, I've seen them roll balls and,
yeah,
you know,
I've seen them do some pretty amazing things. I guess mm-hmm. if they want to make food disappear, why wouldn't they be able to?
Right.
Well, and that's something that we in my tradition do. We feed our ancestors, like mm-hmm. specifically on Samhain, you know, on that holiday, we will make a big plate of food and use it to, quote, feed the dead, unquote.
Yeah.
And we have dumb suppers where we, you know, put these beautiful big plates of food out and they get put outside. You know, obviously the animals are probably eating mm. that, but it's the idea.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're putting that energy out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's what matters, is because you're doing the effort and the energy towards the offering. That's what counts.
Mm-hmm.
So Sherry is saying, we asked about wineberry pie, right?
Yeah.
She said it's either a graham cracker crust or a dough crust. And then it's a really sweet type of raspberry that's used for the wineberry pie. And I don't know
if
it has anything else in it. That's all she said so far, but it sounds good.
It does sound good. I think what it might mean is this is the berry we use to make wine, but we're making pie with it.
Yeah.
Wineberry pie.
Nice.
It's not that there's wine in the pie. It's that.
Got it.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Dave in the chat room is saying what you were talking about with the offering plate. He said it sounds like a First Nation spirit plate.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, almost all fertility religions have this sort of a tradition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Wow. Cool. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're still rolling about the green olives in the salad.
I know. Well, ish.
You know what? I'm still traumatized. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Honestly, I've never seen that before.
You know, here's the deal.
Is it like something that comes out of a Lutheran church basement or something? You know,
my grandma was Catholic.
Oh.
In the 40s, it may have, because we were Lutheran.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I know my grandma.
Eat, like, glorified rice.
Grandparents lived through the Depression rice. And the wars, right? So you have all sorts. But I remember she made it in this. Oh, it was awful. It was this round little decorative dish. It was a mold, right?
Yeah.
And then it was green jello.
Yep.
And I remember things in it like the green olives with the pimentos. Like,
oh, pimentos?
Red, yes.
Yep. And then
carrots. We had carrots.
Carrots. Oh, yep. Celery. Carrots, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she started shredding like cabbage and putting it in there. I'm like, don't do that. I mean, it's already not
it's
good.
It's already bad.
That is too far, man.
Yeah. I think she started to just put in whatever was left in there.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And but it was.
Did people eat it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Not me.
No.
I could see from a distance I wasn't going to eat that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't mind all those things separately.
Yeah.
And no. I don't mind mixing some things.
But not together in a Jell-O.
I'm not a fan of Jell-O. Let's put it that way. And then a green Jell-O is probably my least favorite flavor. Yeah. And then you put all the stuff that I do like into it, and you just wrecked all those other things,
right.
I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I get it. No, our
cold
green Jell-O.
Jell-O.
Our green Jell-O is more like a dessert because it's got all kinds of good stuff. Whipping cream.
But if it's green Jell-O, I'm just...
It is, but you know what? It's so full of whipping cream and pineapple and...
Oh, she's
delicious.
Like trying to convert you, Heidi. She's like, but it's really good.
You feel free to make it sometime, and I'll try it, and I'll let you know what I think. How about that?
Okay. All right. Deal. We'll do that.
Oh, Sherry called it exorcism Jell-O.
Okay, that is official now.
Yeah. It's totally
that
exorcism
is
Jell-O.
That is the name of the Jell-O.
Oh, because thank it's going to get rid of everything.
Oh, right. Yeah, we just put it in the Jell-O. All that's left over. Let's just put it in the Jell-O.
Oh, yeah. High five, Sherry. Oh,
yes, go, Sherry.
From a distance, you're getting a high five from me. That is exorcism Jell-O from now on. Official.
But now if we actually ever do an exorcism, we actually have to have exorcism Jell-O there. Mm-hmm. But we'll leave it for the spirits to eat.
That's right.
Yeah.
With all that,
it's our
leftover.
Because I have occasionally done an exorcism. I mean, it's not like something I do every, like, you know, Thursday. But occasionally
I do. Often I'm going to have to invest in some exorcism.
That's the offering that
we
do at
exorcisms.
You better
just buy a lot of that green Jell-O so you can just throw all the leftovers in the fridge and do it for that. Yeah.
Yeah. I do them often enough that I might have to think about this.
So, like, you're going to get a big Amazon box and it's just going to be, like, filled with green Jell-O.
Yeah.
Boxes of green Jell-O and a mold.
And a mold. Yeah, you got to have the mold. Don't forget the mold.
And it should be one of those metal.
Yeah.
You clank it against the counter. Like, clank. Yeah. Metal. It's not a fancy mold by any means. It's one of those old metal dinged up.
See,
that's what I remember anyway.
I'm close enough to Anoka where I can go to one of the many, many antique shops and I can get you a real 1940s old school mold. Like,
What happened to my mom's
I just turned something that was awful into something that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Actually, I didn't do it. Sherry, you kind of...
Sherry did it.
You did it.
Joe was asking, what spirits would you attract with that Jell-O?
Nothing good.
Well, it's the exorcism Jell-O.
Jell-O.
We're going to tell them this is what we eat. Go away.
If if you don't leave, we will force you to
there
eat
you go.
This.
Yeah, exactly. You will have to eat this. So maybe you want to
leave or eat the Jell-O. I shouldn't joke about exorcisms because they're really awful.
No, they are awful.
They are awful, and I don't wish anybody to have to do them.
But the thing is, you know, you get that gallows humor when you do the gritty work.
Yeah, you
That's
do.
That's right.
You know.
We earned it. We earned it by having to do
I have some permanent scars from some of those
The stuff you see
things.
In those?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. We get to joke about exorcism Jell-O after that. I'm going to find a picture of it and post it on our Facebook page.
The Jell-O?
Yes.
Yeah. With all the whatever leftover stuff.
Green Jell-O. Yeah. Green Jell-O.
Green Jell-O with
salad.
Carrots and...
Images.
And olives and cabbage and...
And prunes.
Yeah.
And
prunes. Oh my
God, that's even the worst one yet. Oh, see. Oh, there it is. There it is.
Oh no, you got a picture?
You got a good one?
Oh, yeah. You got to post it.
Yeah, I'm going to post
for
it.
For sure.
Before I post it, I'm going to show you gals what I got here.
Yeah.
I trust you.
It's
green Jell-O.
I'm going to have to make a little caption and stuff for it.
This is exorcism Jell-O? Yeah.
This is exorcism Jell-O.
Yes.
Those of you who are listening, you will at some point in the next 10-15 minutes
never eat green Jell-O again. Snooki says
exorcism Jell-O.
Oh my god.
God, there's all sorts of pictures of don't look up green Jell-O.
Oh yeah, green Jell-O. Nada.
We have totally gone south.
We have.
But I think we could actually have a show about Exorcism Jello at this point.
Maybe we should, you know, do a YouTube video of us making some Exorcism Jello.
You know what? I would be down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to do that.
I'm thinking that that might be a show.
We can have, like, you know, scary music in the background and stuff.
Yeah.
And we can, like, do a little thing where we're, like, putting it in the middle of a pentagram.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it. Yep.
This, I don't understand what's in the middle of this. There's some kind
of... Oh, no, she's still looking
at the
I think
jello.
It's a salad. No, you know what I bet it is? I think it's mayonnaise.
Oh, yes, mayonnaise.
Well, you got to have
mayonnaise in the middle. Absolutely.
There's a dish of it in the middle.
Oh,
and
sure.
I think I might actually remember that.
Because maybe it will taste better if you have a little mayonnaise to go on top of it.
Well, we all know that mayonnaise classes up everything.
Absolutely. It does. Dave's saying, ew.
Dave.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
Lord help us. Lord
see,
help us.
This is, we get into trouble when all three of us are together.
And you have Kristen
this
on.
Makes me want to come back permanently. I don't know. Don't you miss it?
I
do.
Yeah. Well, you just need to be on more often, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, well, I wanted to do the like, Magic 201.
Yes,
with
we
Heidi.
Have to do,
we
that.
Need to do that because we'll we talked we'll, about that after you were on last time.
We'll get a date for that. And then hopefully for our anniversary, we can all three be together. Maybe it won't be like 90 below with 50 below wind chills or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. I said that totally
like
wrong.
Like tonight.
But yeah, so that's two for sure in the next few months.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Whoop, whoop.
For sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Got it.
Goodness. Well, you know what? It's almost 9 o'clock. We're almost done already.
This is always the fastest hour ever of my life.
I know. It is.
But fun.
It is fun.
And next week we have, let's see here. We have Kyle from the International Paranormal Museum.
Down in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so we're excited to talk to him.
We're going to talk about cryptids.
Cryptids.
Christmas cryptids.
Christmas cryptids, although we're going to go a little expansive because we did Christmas cryptids last year.
We did.
So we are going to do just some unique cryptids.
Okay.
We asked him to
expand. And you know, Krampus Day was last week.
Yeah.
I see we're all alive, so Krampus didn't get any of us, so that's good.
I'm fast, though. Yeah.
I'm really fast.
I also bribe often.
Yeah, me too. I have chocolate.
And I have exorcism jello.
So. Yeah,
right.
That's right. Heidi has the exorcism
Can't
jello.
Can't get me.
So it'll be a fun, it'll be our last live show of the year next week. So we'll make it a fun one for sure.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. So we have to sign off. Don't forget to join in and listen to the calling tomorrow night. I guess I'm not sure who they're having on. Last week they had us and we forgot to advertise the show, but you know, it is what it is.
Well,
it was a
just
good
goes
show.
To show you.
I know, right?
Can't advertise ourselves, so.
Yeah, so join the calling tomorrow night. And we are on a week from tonight again, same place. Thanks for everyone listening. And if the troops are out there, I'm not sure if you are, but if you are, thanks for your service. Be safe.
Para X, thank you for hosting us. Sarge, producing us.
Yes.
And everyone, again, thanks for listening. Kristen, awesome to have you on tonight.
Yes,
thank you.
And we'll check in with everyone next week here on The Gathering.
Awesome.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.